You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 28 March, also Friday. Bell Equipment results later this morning. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Mia Krechler from Kruger International. Old Mutual results, I got to say, I thought really, really strong results. And then they want to start a bank. Harris Gore from Grove Point Investment on the booming private credit market. And thoughts for me, local inflation, is it really over? It's coming down, but it's also looking stronger. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines for MoneyWeb. September implementation date for two-pot system is too optimistic. There are still moving parts that need to be addressed, says Old Mutual CEO. Business day, hawkish Reserve Bank signals later and fewer rate cuts. Monetary Policy Committee expects headline inflation to only get back to 4.5% by the end of 2025. Morning markets, US was green, S&P up 0.9%, Nasdaq up 0.4%. Over in the East, it's mostly green, Sydney up 0.2%, Tokyo, the exception, down 1.2%, Hong Kong up 1.4%, and Tencent up 0.75%. Commodities, also mostly green, gold, 2,216, Brent, 86.57, platinum is the red at 9.12, and palladium $1,004 an ounce. Rand 18.92, Bitcoin 69,300, and top 40 opening call, yo, big open, 480 points to the upside, 0.7%.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Mia Krechler from Kruger International. Mia, I always appreciate the early morning. I said in the intro there, those Old Mutual results, good sales volume, which helped for increased margin, distribution network improved. I mean, all in all, I thought really good set of numbers in what is a tough market, especially when you consider this is an economy that is not particularly growing.
Good morning, Simon. Yes, you've got the nail on the head there. I mean, we're looking for any green shoots in our local markets to drive prices higher on the share side. And yes, Old Mutual has performed particularly well, especially with that dividend, and got great traction from the market yesterday. The final dividend paid was just under 50 cents, which brought the dividend for the year up over 7%. And they have been acquiring back shares, and there's been a buyback in the previous year as well, quite a chunk. So since over the last 5 or 7 years, really, since 2018, which is, I think, 6 years rather, they've created shareholder value by reducing, by paying dividends and by reducing the shares outstanding. So that's been positive from a shareholder point of view. Also, the business had strong growth in most of the areas. We saw the majority of the share they grew was taken away from other market players, and that is the pickle in South Africa. Yeah. We don't have a growing economy. They also noted that the weaker GDP growth is a problem for them. It is a concern for them going into the next year, and they have been taking business away from other businesses. So that is the main area of growth for most businesses in South Africa, which isn't sustainable. As you can think, all businesses that are listed cannot take away share from the others, because that the net effect is just impossible. There should be some losers and some winners, and Old Mutual has been a winner here. So going into the next year, they are planning on launching a bank at the end of the year, which is also an extremely saturated market. This area of the market, as we know, is competitive. Our banks are well capitalized. It's not easy or particularly pleasant for people to move banks. So people don't really move banks very quickly or easily. And Old Mutual is entering the space towards the end of the month, the end of the year, where they will be doing that soft launch going into that time. This is going to be a tough area for them to get growth. Once again, it'll be purely on taking business away from other banks. They focus on the higher income groups in the market as a business of mutual, and that's also where they've been taking away that market share and growing their business. The benefit of that is that that is a higher sort of a higher margin area of the of growth in the country, and that is why it is so profitable for them as a business. But how long they will be able to sustain that is the question, and for how many years they will be able to take away these portions of market shares from the rest of businesses in South Africa is the big question, because the South African market and the South African economy isn't growing, so there isn't any new areas for growth, only taking away from other businesses. And that is sort of my worry when I look at a business like Old Mutual for the long term.
I take your point. It is that complete lack of growth in the economy. And absolutely. So everyone's taking off everyone else, and there's no winners and losers in a sense. The bank, I mean, we've got Discovery Bank, which is actually doing, by all accounts, very, very well, ahead of target in number of users. But Discovery is a slightly different beast in many senses, which perhaps gave them a bit of a head start almost, which, I don't know, my sense is Old Mutual doesn't really have that. And I scratch my head around that bank entirely.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when we think about Discovery and what they've done, they've really entrenched their clients into sort of a network of possibilities. And we don't really know that of Old Mutual as such yet. Everything is still very siloed in their business. They might be getting value from clients over various silos of business, but they don't have that integrated business model that we know of Discovery. So we'll have to see how they develop and move towards that. Again, you know, we against all odds, as you said, Discovery has done better than we expected them to do in such a short time frame. Also, one of the other players in the market, TymeBank, has become profitable in less than 5 years, which is also in a much faster time than we anticipated them to be. But they are, TymeBank, for instance, is focused on the lower end of the market. So they are focused on people that haven't really been banking much before. And that is the area of the market that they are still a larger growth portion in. Old Mutual space is more played into the area of the Standard Banks, of the APSAs, and of maybe of the Investec. So we'll have to see how they take business away from that portion of the market, and if they are able to do so in a short time frame. It'll be a costly exercise. It's already a costly exercise in terms of all the development they have to do in that area, and how profitable that'll be and how much value that'll at the end add to the business is still remains to be seen. So it's doing business in South Africa isn't without risk. We all know that, but you have to put your sort of some capital on the line to try and grow a business in such a difficult business environment as we have here.
I take your point on that. Put some capital on the line and perhaps try a sort of slightly allied industry, banking in this case, to get that growth going forward. We'll leave it there. Mia Krechler from Kruger International. Always appreciate the early morning.
Your money knows that reaching new heights means turbulence. When you invest in Stanlib's Global Multi-Strategy Diversified Growth Fund, your money can withstand the unpredictable ups and downs caused by day-to-day market fluctuations. Because our partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management gives you access to a broad range of global strategies. Seek more returns at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Harris Gore from Grove Point Investment. Harris, appreciate the early morning time again. Private credit market. We had our own MPC yesterday kind of going down on rates cuts. We had back in January, the market was saying that the US, the Federal Reserve, would be cutting by March. That has come and gone with no rate cuts. A higher for longer interest rate environment. Good for returns, I imagine. Does it add significant risk to the private credit market sector?
Morning, Simon, and morning to all the listeners. Thanks for having me on the show again. I haven't followed the MPC that closely, but we obviously follow the Fed quite closely on this side. I suppose our expectations when we spoke back in January were that inflation was going to be stickier. The market was probably getting ahead of itself. In our liquid private credit portfolio, we're actually taking profits through Q1 of this year. So yes, taking some risk off the table. I think rates being higher for longer, we probably expected a little bit more volatility in markets and a bit more of a sell-off. But from what we've seen in the US, the kind of corporate profit earnings and growth in, say, corporate margins, especially in the kind of core middle market in the US, has been incredibly robust. So the risk to the strategy in terms of private credit, we actually see rates for longer as being a tailwind. It's been a upsetting factor for the local banks in the US, regional banks. Their cost of deposits has gone up. There are a number of banking regs that have come in that have made it harder for them to lend, have made the regulatory environment there uncertain for mid-sized banks, especially, and for the larger banks. And so generally rates being higher for a little longer is beneficial for the direct lenders who compete against those banks. But overall, what we've seen is the reason rates are staying a bit higher is that the economy is holding up very, very well.
That's a good point. I mean, rates are only staying higher because the economy is absolutely managing it. And we see that, particularly in the US. I mean, that was about 18 months ago or so where Jerome Powell said there will be some pressure on unemployment. So far, zero pressure on unemployment. You mentioned the banking regulatory environment. Of course, cost of capital is higher because of those higher interest rates. Is this seeing sort of the traditional banking lenders stepping back a little bit and creating some more space for in the private credit market?
Definitely in the US, this is a trend that's been going on for some time, which we spoke about a few months ago, that today probably the banks have less than 15% of share in middle market lending. But what's happened more recently is following the failures of Silicon Valley Bank and First Republic in the first half of last year. The regulators have proposed new rules on risk-weighted assets. So this is really how much capital the banks have to hold against their loan books. And those rules, in some cases, are proposing up to a 16% increase, or actually on average across the industry, a 16% increase on the capital they need to hold. Banks have started to fight back. I think if anyone's been reading the press in the US, they see that some banks have actually taken out billboards to lobby the public. To kind of lobby Congress on their behalf against these capital rules. So the rules aren't baked in, but obviously that creates uncertainty for banks. Uncertainty means that credit decisions are slower. Slower credit decisions mean that corporates that are looking to grow, engage in M&A, add to their business, perhaps take advantage of dislocation by a competitor, et cetera. They increasingly turn to direct lenders instead of banks because banks are just taking longer to make lending decisions because of uncertainty to do with regulations. So that's one part of it. You have this kind of regulatory uncertainty, capital rules that haven't been baked in yet that are still up for discussion, and banks lobbying against those rules. On the other side of the equation, you have the increase in rates, which for regional banks especially has made their deposit books more expensive and therefore made it more expensive for them to lend. And then on I suppose a third factor, which has been very public recently, has been the buildup of CRE, commercial real estate, on especially on regional bank balance sheets. And you've had this increase in interest rates. That's the part of the market that has had the most effect on, and banks really trying to work through their issues in the CRE market. So all of these factors kind of interplay and interact to make it a very, very favorable market. And what we saw in the second half of last year was some of the best yields being captured on direct lending that we've seen since market inception 20, 25 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, really strong yields coming through, and a big, I mean, part of the attraction of alternative asset classes, and I mean, private capital is an alternative asset, but sort of maybe not in the extreme as maybe a solar farm is, but it's that uncorrelation to other assets which is so incredibly important as well for an investor.
Yeah, diversified source of returns is how we'd see it. We we think that the private markets, obviously, if you go into an illiquid fund, we don't invest in the illiquid private credit funds. You have You have correlation due to the mark to book value instead of mark to market. We invest in the listed market, so you have mark to market. So you have, call it, volatility that's correlated to equity markets. But we quite like that because you can trade around that volatility. You can buy loan books at a discount to book value. What we were doing in Q1 of this year is really selling loan books at a premium to book value as the market kind of got ahead of itself, expecting rate cuts that didn't materialize. And by doing that, you can generate excess return on an underlying asset class where your returns are uncorrelated, call it, to the broader equity market or the broader fixed income market. And a big driver of that is the fact that the underlying companies we're lending to here are all private. And so those are companies that if you own a global equity portfolio or S&P 500 portfolio or even a Russell 2000 portfolio, these are not companies that you're going to be holding in your management portfolio or wealth management portfolio.
Yeah, I take your point. And I particularly liquidity, I take that. It actually creates opportunity, which is so critically important. And I think often missed by investors, that liquidity is hugely important. We'll leave it there. Harris Gore, Grove Point Investments, always appreciate the early morning.
Hear that? Nothing. Your money can do more when it blocks out the noise, as hard as it is these days. When you invest in the Stanley Balanced Cautious Fund, we manage the risks so that you can see stable inflation-beating returns through market cycles. Invest with more certainty at stanlib.com/more. Stanlib is an authorized financial services provider and a registered manager.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
So my Friday question on a Thursday, inflation, I mean, is it dead? I said there with Harris that you know, the expectation, there was a plus 60% in the markets back in January saying we'd get rate cuts in March. The expectation was 6 cuts this year. Well, March has come and gone, no rate cuts, and now we're looking at 3 in the US and perhaps even less locally. My question is, I mean, we saw local inflation jump up in February. That was driven almost exclusively by services, and within that services, it was insurance. And we've seen that. I think it was Famous Brands who said that their insurance costs are up some 400%. And well, if you've got insurance, just look at that bill. But there's other concerns out there. We've got Brent oil in the mid 80s. That's not massively inflationary, but it certainly doesn't help. And the risk to oil, if anything, is probably to the upside. We've got food. I mean, Wandile Shaloba was talking around the effect of dry conditions in our country. We're going to get a maize crop that's about 10% down. Now, we've got enough maize in South Africa. It's not a problem. We won't have to import, but it will see higher prices go higher. So we've got risks around oil. We've certainly got food inflation, which potentially starts to trend higher again. And suddenly this whole sense that inflation is beaten, well, maybe it's not just yet. I mean, the MPC yesterday certainly flagged upside risk to inflation. And they're talking around their target of 4.5%. Because, of course, remember, the target's 3-6. But the governor wants 4.5. He, in fact, he probably wants 3. But he talks of 4.5%. They only expect that to be reached end of next year, not even this year. So cuts coming later in South Africa and fewer of them. But I can't help thinking we've got to keep a very close eye on that inflation number, because I do think that risk to inflation is to the upside. And if we start to see that, do rates stay where they are? Do our cuts that were expected this month get pushed out even further? Forget mid-year. Do they start moving to September? Heck, do they start, worst-case scenario, moving into next year? We'll keep an eye on those. That's it for today. We were chatting with Odwa Magwenchu from Tribe SA yesterday about the EOH results, once a darling of the JSE, $180 share at some point, but coming in for another headline loss. We asked if you were investing here for the turnaround. Almost 3/4 of you said, nope, it's failed, thank you, but not for you. And I certainly sit in that group. A fifth was saying, you know what, you're watching closely while the rest are holding already. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast, just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobuchle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us an awesome rating in your podcatcher of choice, and we will chat again Tuesday. We'll be talking energy.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.